giving tradies and contractors around the globe the tools to run a modern business. You're listening to Toolbox Talks from the Site Shed. Now here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hello and welcome back to Toolbox Talks. And in today's episode, we are going to make a very non-sexy topic sexy with the lovely Michaela from the Tradies Business Show. She's joining us on the microphone today because I actually have no idea when it comes to politics. However, I know Michaela does, and I've asked her to come on the show as we have an upcoming election this Saturday, the 2nd of July in Australia. It's a federal election, and I've just asked her to come on the show to shed a bit of light on, I suppose, a bit of an overview as to what the election is and maybe a little bit about some of the policies that are being put forward and how they may affect small business. So, Michaela, thank you very much for joining me on the show again.
What do you mean politics isn't sexy?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's pretty hot.
Yeah, I mean, this is the greatest day every 3 years in the federal election. Like, can you not be excited?
Okay,
you know, so I've already bagged the TV all day. My husband's going out and saying, don't even talk to me. It's like the footy grand final. They don't even talk to me. For a political nerd like me, this is the grand final, the Super Bowl every 3 years.
Good Lord. So I just, you know, when you have sometimes when you have friends and you just think, oh, good grief, what the hell is going through their head? This is one of those moments. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whatever does it for you. Yeah. I'm sure Woz is on my side here.
Well, you know, I was really excited this year because we actually have a US election, which I watch just as badly, and an Australian election. So this is like a double whammy year.
Good grief.
Like, it doesn't come around very often.
It's like Nirvana.
It is, yes. Yeah, Sky has its own election channel even. So that's just on in my office all day.
And I suppose the cream on top of the cake would have been the England leaving the Euro.
Oh. How good was the weekend? I got to watch that on CNN all weekend. I know, it's really sad. I know. I just can't help. And then Saturday night, I actually went and to a, you know, people's forum where they asked the candidates question, and Bill Shorten was in town. So I was like, oh, my God, I get to actually go into the audience and ask some questions. Except they didn't pick me.
Oh, you didn't get to ask one. Oh.
No, I was, you know, really disappointed. But, hey, you know, that's how I spent my Saturday night. I was all excited.
No, joke's on you. I'm sure he's a huge listener of your show anyway.
Of course.
All right. Well, look, thank you for coming on the show. As I have alluded to, I'm not very I don't know a lot about politics, and I suppose there are a lot of listeners out there that probably don't as well. I don't know why. Maybe coming from a trade background, I just got so disillusioned with the whole, you know, people saying they're going to do something and not doing it, that I just sort of I decided to switch off after a certain point. But I know it's important, and I know that you are very well educated in this area. So I suppose if you don't mind, I'd like to pick your brain a bit on, you know, some of the on this upcoming election, and maybe for some of our overseas listeners. Obviously, we've got a lot of people in the States that listen to this podcast, and maybe you can help us shed a bit of light on some comparisons between our political parties and theirs.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to. Like, have we got all day to record on this stuff? I'm hoping. You know.
No, so get to it.
And, I mean, it is really sad for me that someone loves the process. And I'm not politically aligned either side. I just love the process and the strategy, which is probably even more nerdy. So, you know, what I get really disheartened is I hear so many people saying, oh, you know, I just don't care anymore. They're all liars and things like that. And, yeah, they have done that to themselves. But it's so important we have a say. And I'm, you know, very much have a say. And it doesn't matter who you're going to have a say for, but have a genuine reason why you're doing that. It could be a donkey vote or whatever. But, you know, at least don't whinge if you have a say.
This is one thing that I've battled with over the years. Like you're saying, go and have a say, even if it's a donkey vote. Now, I've always kind of had the opinion that I've never really known enough about politics to, if I go forth and I do vote, which I do all the time, in case anyone's listening, I always struggle with going forward and putting in a donkey vote on the fact that I don't understand what I'm actually voting for. How do you tackle that? I mean, this is one of the reasons I suppose I wanted to have you on the show, so maybe you can shed a bit of light on, you know, who I may want to be voting for. You know, what's the point in going through and putting in a vote that you don't really know what it's counting towards?
Yeah, what surprise, and for our overseas listeners, you know, in Australia, it's actually compulsory to vote. So you need to vote or it's a $100 fine. So a lot of people, you know, hate that they have to do it. So when they do it, they just, you know, don't do it correctly so that the vote's not actually counted. And I recently was on a polling booth on a local election day, and I was shocked at how many people were coming to vote that had no idea walking in what they were voting for. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this is so interesting. You know, at least half the people walking in there don't know what they're doing. They're just doing it because they know they have to.
Yep.
And, you know, I think that, you know, I kind of take it and think, well, I go and look at what they're standing for, but I listen and read to it anyway. So for people that aren't interested, I think it's our politicians' job to be able to communicate to them, you know, better, so that they're understanding what the policies are, and perhaps try and use mediums and things like that that they're hanging on now, you know.
Yeah.
So it is hard. I think, you know, there is a little bit of responsibility that people should try and get a little bit of an understanding, because, you know, you do have to do it, so let's make it count.
Mm-hmm.
And try and whether that's maybe catching the news at night and actually not sleeping during the segment and actually, you know, hearing what's going on. And just trying, I guess, have a little bit of time to have a listen and see what appeals to you the most.
Yep.
Don't always believe what you hear over a beer in the pub, but I know you're not going to go scrolling the candidates' websites all night either.
No, that's right. So, okay, just for the listeners, before we get too far into this, let's draw a bit of a comparison between, say, our Liberal Party and our Labor Party, and, you know, maybe the American system, the Democrats and the Conservatives, and et cetera. How does that line up?
Yeah, so look, there is some similarities, I guess. For us, we have two major parties, which is the Liberal Party, which has a coalition with the National Party, so the LNP, and then we have the Labor Party. So the LNP's always sort of been about business. And the higher end of town, I guess.
That's the Labor Party. That's the Liberal, yeah.
That's the Liberal?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little bit like Republic in the US. Not exactly, but that's sort of the closest kind of thing. And then Labor is very much the working class. It's come from unions, and it's all about the people and helping out the little guy, I guess, is how you would refer to it. So generally speaking, Liberals, you know, more about business, and Labor's more about the working class. And, you know, Labor's often been pretty big in the building construction industry with unions and things like that.
Yeah.
So again, it's sort of, that's very generalized, but that's kind of how you can differentiate the two.
Now, this is a federal election. So what does a federal election actually mean, I suppose, in comparison to a state election?
Yeah, so a state election is based on voting in a party that will have the premier of that particular state. And states often, you know, they look after different things in our community as opposed to federal governments do. So this election, we're looking at, you vote for someone, in a candidate in your local area, but you're also bringing in that party to be the prime minister and head the country up. And, you know, we've had I think it's 5 different prime ministers in the last 6 years, which is just unheard of, because we've had a lot of leadership changes and challenges and stuff like that. I mean, very exciting for people like me. But, however, does create this, you know, unstable uncertainty around the government. So it's you're voting for someone in your local area, and whoever gets majority of seats, they will then form the government and then have the prime minister.
So basically what we're talking about is, you know, I'm on the northern beaches of Sydney, and our local, I think, electorate is, I think it's Tony Abbott still.
Right. Okay. Well, yours is actually quite an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because the James Matheson, the guy, has stood up and said, you know, I can beat Tony Abbott, who's an independent, and he's a guy that's been on TV and a reporter and stuff. And he's going, you know, no one's really standing up for the issues. So he's standing up to run against Tony Abbott. And for those that don't know, Tony Abbott was an ex-prime minister that did get basically booted by the current prime minister now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in his seat. So it's actually really interesting to see your one.
Yeah. And so effectively, so when we are voting in this federal election, even though we're voting for somebody representing a local seat, that vote will then tally up on behalf of the party. Is that basically what we're saying?
Yes. Okay. So you vote for a local member,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever party has the most electorates won, so then that becomes a seat.
Yeah.
So whoever has the majority of seats will form government, and then your voting for that party and their leader. So unlike the US, where you're voting for the person,
yeah.
in Australia you actually vote for the party and they have an allocated leader,
okay.
Which for us is the Prime Minister is Malcolm Turnbull, and on the Labor side is Bill Shorten. So even though and so you could vote for Labor in your local area, but you could still get Malcolm Turnbull as your Prime Minister. It just goes how many seats they get as majority.
Okay. So tell me, when we're talking, okay, so we have to vote this Saturday, we have to go and vote. And I suppose realistically, when we go to vote, we're voting on what we believe are the best policies. Is that right?
Well, yes, you should.
Yeah.
Vote on what the policies are, because really that's what, you know,
yeah.
is going to be the outcome, hopefully. And a lot of people do vote on the person, not the leader, but really you've got to look at what policies are in your local area that may affect you,
mm-hmm.
As well as federal policies that will elect you, for example. So in the seat I'm in, a big hot issue is unemployment and also things like social issues, as well as the NBN. We have really bad internet in our area. Mm-hmm. So for us, a federal issue is the NBN. So you've got to look at what's sort of affecting you locally, but then what are the major policies that they're announcing that could affect you as well?
Yeah, because I suppose like when you look at it, I mean, yeah, NBN is important because it's going to affect you, but on the grand scheme of things, it's pretty irrelevant to the rest of the country or the well-being of the country. Like, how do you differentiate between, you know, you voting selfishly for something that you want yourself as opposed to something that's going to benefit, you know, the good of the country?
Well, I think you need to vote what you think will be the best for your local area, really, because that's kind of what it comes down to.
Right.
As well as it's kind of a balancing act, you know. I think the NBN is a really important issue both locally and nationally. So for me, you know, that's a critical issue.
Yeah.
But I think generally at a federal thing, we do need to really look at the bigger picture because it's the federal government that makes all the economic and social policies. So it really is important to try and get that balance between what, you know, your local issues and
yeah.
and those national issues as well. But because it's federal, most of the issues are national. It's different to your local state or local government where it's very, very localised.
Yeah.
But you do really need to look at what you think will be generally best for the nation.
So I didn't mean to have a stab at you then with that NBN example. I was thinking more, you know, say, for example, you live in an area that does have NBN and however there are areas that don't have NBN, am I still going to be, you know, would you still be voting for somebody that wants to put NBN forward across the country, even though you have it?
Well, I mean, there could be other issues, local issues in your area that are more important that may sway your vote the other way.
Right.
But you do need to think as a whole. So this area would be, say, more NBN focused than someone that's living in Sydney. Their issues will be different and you'll find that their candidates will talk about different issues.
Yeah.
So you do need to want to, I guess, have a local interest in things that affect you. If there's nothing particularly local that's a big issue, then it's definitely looking at what do you think overall is the best for the nation to move forward.
Okay. So when we're talking about policies and I suppose, you know, what these parties are claiming to represent, where can we go to get information about that? Like, how can we research this stuff? Are there websites?
Yeah, sure. So each party has, every candidate has their own website and both their parties have their own website. But a lot of them this year are doing a lot on Facebook. So they're definitely using social media a lot more and they're doing things like Facebook Live and all that kind of stuff. So more and more we're seeing this 24-hour access to them and seeing them out and about more. And there's more opportunity to have a look and see at a time that suits you what they're doing. So, have a look at Facebook. There's a lot of video going around. Search for the leaders or your local candidates.
Okay.
A lot of local candidates do have local events where you can go and ask questions, or a lot of the time you can just ring them up and ask them, you know. But there's a lot of information online.
Is there somewhere that has, I suppose, like, is there a neutral website where you can go to get information about what about all the different parties that are involved and what they represent, so you can sort of get an overview just, you know, in the same space? Or do you have to go and, I mean, realistically, I'm not going to go to Facebook, go to all the different candidates in my area's Facebook pages and look at all their Facebook Live things. I'm not going to do that.
Why? What do you say?
Well, because I, you know, I've got a business, life, surf's pumping.
I can't understand it, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know it's an unrealistic expectation, but, you know, if you do want to know what's going on, I guess you've got to take a bit of an interest and look for this information. Unfortunately, no, there is no, you know, like a comparison of health insurance sites.
Right.
There's no real, you know, look at what parties do. There's a lot of media sites, but they're all, a lot of them are opinions and things like that as well. So it is a bit harder to compare them side by side. And it also depends on who's doing the narrative. You know, they may have a spin on it a certain way as well. So it's not, it is hard. It is, it's really tough to understand what's going on when you're busy and you've got a family and every, and businesses and clients ring trying to put time aside for this stuff. But, you know, it does matter a little bit.
Okay. So, like, to give a bit of an overview, and I don't know how much we can go into this, but if we're talking about the Liberal Party, you know, what are some of the key policies that they represent, and why would myself, or, you know, a lot of listeners out there as small business owners, why would they be interested in voting for Liberal Party?
Yeah, so the main theme that the Liberal Party's come out with is this whole that they have a strong economic plan, and that's been their one key message that they've had the whole time. So their big election promise has been to cut the company tax rate, which they hope will boost productivity and investment and help stimulate the economy into the future. So their big thing is for businesses, you know, it goes right up to even the big banks, but in the immediate short term will be businesses $2 million revenue and under will start to get company tax rates in the next few years.
Okay.
So that's kind of been their side of it. And I know a lot of our listeners would be would have, you know, companies set up, and this would impact them. So that's sort of their main message that they've had, that they're hoping, you know, over the next 10 years, these company tax rates will come down and more investment and productivity will happen because of it, and more tax revenue generated in the long term, which will help get us out of our budget deficit that we're currently in.
Okay, but now on the budget deficit, is the budget deficit a negative thing? Because you read a lot of things, you know, online in forums saying that we actually depend on the deficit.
Well, it depends which, you know, there's two common theories. The deficit means that, you know, if we don't get it under control, our children and grandchildren will have less and less services because more money is getting taken up in this deficit and paying back interest. So we pay $40 million a day in interest.
Jesus.
On our current budget deficit. So as Alan Jones says, you know, that's one school every 8 hours.
Wow.
That we're paying back in interest. So we do need that budget deficit sometimes there, but ideally we want to be able to have a surplus so that we have reserves, so that if there is a recession or we need extra services in a particular area, that there's money in the bank account to pay for it. You know, so obviously like most people, they don't want to be putting their money into interest repayments, and that's sort of what's currently happening. So the big difference here is both the parties have said in 10 years they'll get their budget back to surplus.
Oh, wow.
Both have said that, yeah.
And surplus means basically break even.
Yes.
And they've both parties have said that.
To get to it. Yeah. The big difference is that they're both going to come back to surplus at the same time. The Labor Party is saying we're actually going to go into deficit more in the short term, but we'll get back to surplus in the long term because we need to spend money in health and education. And so we need to spend a bit more to help bring us back to surplus.
Okay.
Where the Liberal Party is saying, no, we need to rein back spending a little bit and get the deficit down as quick as possible. So they're the two, that's probably the major difference in the two parties this year. So Labor's saying we're going to spend more money in the short term, but we'll meet it at the same time that the other party's going to. And the Liberal Party is using this tax company cut, which will look at $50 billion. It's going to cost them in the next 10 years to do that company tax cut.
Wow, okay. So how would that affect the example we used before, say, with the NBN, I didn't clarify earlier for the listeners, NBN stands for National Broadband Network, which is basically high-speed internet. Is that right?
Yes. And it's a big issue in Australia because we used to be ranked 30th in the world, and then there's a change of government, and now we're at 61st in the world for the fastest internet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty bad.
Okay.
So, I mean, to be 61st in the world in our internet speed, so it's a big issue because we're such a big rural land, we really need good internet to be able to move forward.
I tell you, I think this connectivity in general in Australia is so substandard. I mean, I mean, I don't know about yourself, but my cellular phone network is with Telstra and they claim to have 96% coverage of Australia or something. But I tell you, I've been to that 4% over and over again, and it's a big 4%. I mean, you can go in the next suburb next to me in Kirkhill and there's a 4% there as well. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I live 10 minutes out of town, and for 2 minutes of that 10 minutes, I don't have any reception.
Right, on your phone?
Yep. So I have a 2-minute black spot. So, and you know what? My internet's so bad at night that I can't basically do any online meetings or watch any live streaming at night. After 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
wow.
I basically have dial up speed.
Good grief.
So for me, it's a big issue.
Yeah.
But that's where I live. Where somewhere, like you said, but in Sydney, you know, it's not a bigger issue.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still crazy mad about how slow my internet speed is. And it's not so bad in retrospect. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So on the other side, the Labor Party is coming out and saying, we will give those company tax cuts as well, but we're only going to do it for businesses up to $2 million in revenue. So that's a bit of a difference that the Liberals are saying they're going to do it for everyone. Labor's going, well, we're going to target it to small people, small business, and not your big multinational companies. So that's one difference.
Yep.
Labor's also saying that they've got some policies out where they're going to put more apprentices and try and address the skills shortage in the trade industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying for things like federally funded projects that they're going to look at having, you know, a apprentice, one in every 10 has to be an apprentice on a job site. Yeah, so they're looking at providing more funding to TAFEs for skilled training rather than private colleges and things like that.
Okay.
And yeah, so there is a little bit of difference when it comes to maybe some issues that affect our listeners more than others. They really are trying to address some of these skill shortages that we're having and try and focus on apprenticeships and trade colleges as well.
And, I mean, this is a big issue, isn't it? I mean, when we're talking about the amount of money that's funding that's been pulled out of apprenticeships and training has been pretty substantial over the years. I mean, to be honest, now that you say that, I'm kind of torn between the two. I mean, yeah, obviously, as a business owner, the idea of paying less tax is pretty appealing. However, when I'm looking at the foresight for the country, we need skilled labour out there.
That's it. And, I mean, I know for our industry, it has been really tough. And looking at, you know, you're seeing workers from overseas coming in, which that when they refer to these 457 visa workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so Labor's trying to crack down on businesses exposing that system. But I think, you know, there has been some issues regarding, particularly around training and these registered training organisations over the last few years and the funding that they get, which is just incredible amount of funding that's coming from the government for these businesses. And Labor, for example, is looking at trying to put that more back into TAFE and government-run programs to address these issues and be a bit more strategic about it. I mean, so many businesses we talk to in this trade industry, one of their biggest things is getting skilled workers.
Oh, yeah.
Subcontractors and all that kind of stuff is such a big issue. So, you know, there is still going to be a tax cut up to $2 million in revenue if that's your business size, but then the other money, instead of giving it to every business, they're investing that money back into things like they're putting more into education and putting more into health and then these skilled training initiatives as well.
Because I know, I mean, even from when I was doing my apprenticeship, I mean, the course was considerably longer at TAFE. So TAFE is, for the listeners that aren't familiar, is our equivalent of, say, college or technical college in the United States or the UK. That's where you go to do your training to become a certified tradesman. And I know when I was at TAFE studying plumbing, the course was considerably longer than it is now. And that's due to tax cuts. Basically, tax cuts have reduced the length of those courses, which I suppose at the end of the day means that you've got more people that are qualified as tradespeople without the same amount of experience and skill in the marketplace.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a lot of investment put into private training organisations over the past few years to help deal with this skills shortage. And there's differing opinions on this, but there's definitely been some easing of qualifications and, you know, getting your certificates and things like that in all sorts of different areas where it was very much, you know, the training organisation is going to get paid if you pass. So it's really just a tick and flick kind of system. And so, you know, there has been these issues around these these workers coming out, and are they technically as skilled as what they used to be when they got trained? And, you know, a lot of people are finding they're not. So putting the focus and money back into TAFE and making better qualified, skilled workforce is going to have greater productivity and returns for the nation long term. That's the economic theory.
What's the scenario where, okay, so in Australia, as we've already discussed, we have, you know, the Liberal Party and the Labor Party who are the main contenders. What's the scenario where, you know, you've got, I won't call them outsiders, but parties, you know, like the Greens, who are also, you can also vote for. However, if you do vote for them, then they typically are aligned with another party.
Yeah, so this is where it gets really exciting. So if
I'm excited.
You have, so it actually causes a bit of chaos, but, you know, if one government doesn't get the majority of seats, then the independents or people that aren't necessarily aligned to a party or the Greens hold the balance of power. And that's what happened a couple of years ago with the when Julie Gillard got into power. I mean, there were three people that decided who was going to lead the government of the day, because they had the deciding balance of power vote. So,
which, I mean, is that a ridiculous scenario, really?
Well, yes, it is, isn't it?
I mean,
it is because, yeah, and what people are doing are, oh, look, we don't want to vote for either party. We're just going to vote for this independent. And so more and more of these independents and minor parties like the Greens are actually getting more power.
Right.
You know, and that's not necessarily a good thing. I think we really need a government, you know, whoever comes in, that the population has said, yes, the majority of us think you're going to do a better job and you're right for us right now. So when you have independents, like, you know, three and four independents doing deals with both parties to get them into government, I don't think that's often the best interest for the country either.
Mm.
So, you know, by going to the minor, doing the minor votes, and protest votes, as they're called, isn't always the best option.
Right.
You know, it can actually cause more chaos and more deals being done. And, you know, for example, when the Gillard government came in, the three candidates were very much country regional focused independents.
Mm-hmm.
So more money ended up going to regional areas because of the deals they did to help them get into government. And that can be a good or bad thing. But it was more that, you know, things had to change. You know, they had to do deals with what they said with before the election, changed after the election to get them into government and things like that. So, yeah, that's when it gets really interesting. So for stability, we really want either major party to get in with a majority rather than a minority.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because, I mean, there's a lot of people out there with that mentality. Well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, so I'm just going to vote for the Greens. But then I suppose what a lot of them don't realise is if you vote for the Greens, it's a vote for the Labor Party, really, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Greens and the Labor have in the past sort of joined together because even though their policies are different, they're more aligned than the Greens going with the Liberals.
Yeah.
So, and usually your independents are swayed either way as well. Often is the case as well. But, you know, I think it's important where possible to try and make an informed choice or pick an issue that you think is particularly important to you and see who has the best policy in that area.
Okay.
We won't even talk about the Senate, but no. That's a whole nother story because you do have to vote for the Senate as well.
Isn't that what we've been talking about? You mean like you mean Star
it's
Wars,
the lower
right?
house. So, let's get the lower house right first.
Yeah, okay. Upper house, lower house. Sounds like a card game, really.
Yeah.
All right, well, look,
so are you up to speed now? Do you think you can make a vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely looking forward to getting down there. And no, I'm not. I'm lying. I'm still stuck.
Well, the good thing is that a lot of these have great sausage sizzles and
oh, yeah, great.
You know, food stalls. So you know, you can always get something good to eat on your way in.
Look, yeah. If nothing else, voting is great for getting a free sausage sandwich. Excellent.
Oh, well, it's not free anymore. You got to pay. But you are supporting your local school because the government's not giving you enough money.
Oh, okay. See? Oh, okay, great. Serendipities.
Make sure you vote.
Yeah, okay.
That's my message to the people out there.
Well, I suppose my message would be go and find out what your local candidates represent and find something that you want to vote for instead of just throwing in a dummy vote or a donkey vote or whatever it was called.
And you know what? If I've made one person go and review their local area and see what issues matter to them and they've made a better informed vote, then it's well worth it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's what, and you know what? It's been worth it because that's what I'm going to go do. So there you go. I may be the one person.
That's okay. At least it's an informed vote.
Exactly. Well, look, Michaela, thank you very much for your time. Thanks for shedding light on a topic that I certainly had no idea about. I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there don't know about. And thanks for that sound advice in going and researching what your local candidate represents and trying to find something that, you know, you would want to vote for. It's a complicated world of politics. Who would have thought, eh?
I know, but it's exciting.
Yeah.
Can't wait for Saturday to, you know, a couple more sleeps.
So when do they actually, does the election actually happen on Saturday? Like when do they announce who, you know, what the results are?
Well,
obviously,
polling
you've got to process everything.
From 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday.
Yep.
You can pre-poll if you can't make it on the day. Someone like me that gets so excited, they just in case, for whatever reason, they forgot, I pre-poll so that I don't forget. And I've definitely made my vote count. But again, yeah, the nerd in me. But all polling booths close at 6 o'clock and
yep.
Instantly all the votes are manually counted from them. So depending on how close it is, you should have you should know who won that night.
So when you say
so
you
probably
pre-poll,
by 10, 11 o'clock.
You've already put your vote in?
Yes.
Oh.
So you can go to a pre-poll. So if you want to avoid the crowds and don't want to do it Saturday, there's a heap of pre-poll locations around your area,
yep.
And you can go and actually do it before Saturday.
That's very good advice. I might go do that today.
Yes. Do that and
after
so
research,
then you don't have
course.
Any crowds.
Yeah.
Of
okay.
course, after you research and there's no crowds then. So you know, there's no excuse that you can't have time to vote.
No, I mean, I'm
why
always...
they don't online voting, I'll never know. It is still such a manual process that every vote is manually counted, but let's not get there today.
I was just about to say, when are they going to introduce technology into this process?
It's, you know, I've been a scrutineer and watched them count and it's ridiculous. It is so slow. But so Saturday night, I reckon between 9 and 10, we should have a result unless it's pretty close and then we won't know perhaps for a couple of days.
And then that result may be either the current Prime Minister is staying or there's a new Prime Minister with a new party.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So the polls are kind of 50-50, but because Labor has to make up so many seats, because it lost in the last election, it has to actually get back 21 seats.
Oh.
It's highly likely that the Liberal Party will win.
Okay. Is that right?
Yes, yes. Mm. So even though it's about a 50-50 at the moment, Labor has to win the really tight seats and a lot of them to actually get back their losses from the last election. So it's probably looking more like we will have Malcolm as Prime Minister again.
And I suppose one question that I would like to ask you in closing is, can you see this election as a way for Australia to regain its title as the laughing political joke of the world?
Look, if Bill Shorten comes in, I think that will be the sixth Prime Minister in 7 years, and that is a joke, really.
And you reckon,
is it not?
Okay. Well, I don't know. Is that a game winner? I mean, I don't know. I suppose it won't.
I don't know.
It may not last for too long, depending on what happens in the United States. So we'll see.
Yeah, and you know, is it stability? Is that what people want? Who knows? So it you know, get your beers ready and get in for a good Saturday night. Coverage starts from about 6 o'clock. Everyone.
All right. Thank you, Michaela.
No worries.
That's awesome.
You've been listening to the Tradies Business Show with Warwick Bidwell and Michaela Clark. Want to get off the tools into true business ownership? Find out how at tradiesbusinessshow.com.